This interview and the entire Real Men Connect podcast is brought to you by Ministry Men of Influence, the first ever men's only Christian mastermind group for aspiring speakers, writers, podcasters, coaches, and course creators. So if you're looking to turn your God-given passion into a full-time profession, but you need help and don't know where to start, just go to mensministry.org for details. That's ministrymen, M-E-N.org.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today we have with us Dr. Amos Johnson Jr. Amos is the founder of Church for Entrepreneurs and the author of Take Control of Your Financial Destiny, 9 Christian Entrepreneur Principles to Developing a God-Inspired Business. Now, the mission of Amos's ministry, Church for Entrepreneurs, is to help Christians achieve their entrepreneur calling by teaching the Word of God and imparting godly counsel. Amos has an MS degree in electrical and computer engineering and a PhD in electrical engineering, both from Georgia Institute of Technology. But Amos also says his passion is to help Christian entrepreneurs succeed at their calling. He strongly believes a fulfilled life comes from clearly knowing what God has called you to do and simply doing it. What a concept. And in spite of his extensive technical background, Amos went on to graduate from Faith Christian Center's Faith School of Ministry and became a licensed minister in the Word of Faith churches. He is married. He has 2 young daughters. Now, I met Amos through a Facebook community called Kingdom Driven Entrepreneurs, and I got a chance to listen to his podcast, Church of Entrepreneurs, which I'm now a subscriber. And I read some of his posts, and I was so impressed with his knowledge and his wisdom of business and marketing, but also how he relates the Word of God to entrepreneurship. And I was equally impressed with his willingness to serve others. I said to myself, I had to invite this brother to be on the show. And to his credit, he agreed to join us. And I'm so happy to have Amos on today on the Real Men Connect podcast. Welcome to the show, Amos.
Glad to be here, Joe. Looking forward to it.
And so am I, man. Amos, I tell you, when I went into the Facebook community group, and you kind of just stood out to me. And I clicked on and I listened to a podcast episode you had about positioning and marketing. And I, you know, of course, I'm going in with the bias that we as Christians don't know as much about marketing as we should. And of course, I was blown away because you were right on point with the advice you were giving. And I even learned a few new things on top of it. I'm thinking, this brother knows what he's talking about. So of course, I did a little bit of digging and found out more about you. And then when I saw how you responded to questions in the community, which showed me you had a heart for serving. And I'm always attracted to men who are willing to pour out themselves for other people. So I reached out to you, didn't know if you would agree to be on the show, but when you responded back, I guess it shouldn't have surprised me because I saw your heart even in that Facebook group. And I was so excited when you agreed to do it. And we had a few glitches on the calendar, but we were able to make it work, man. So I'm so happy to have you here, man.
I'm glad to be here, Joe.
And Amos, I want to jump right into the reason why we brought you on the show, but I want to get you started because we always ask men when they come on the show to share with us their favorite Bible verse and what gives them inspiration from the Word of God. And if you don't mind, will you tell us what yours is?
Well, I got a couple, but I think what was kind of important in terms of my calling, which kind of launched my calling, is Genesis 30:30. And Genesis 30:30 is a story of Jacob and Laban. Mm-hmm. So guys, if you know from the Bible, Jacob had to work 14 years to get the particular wife he wanted, right? Because like his uncle Laban had tricked him, marrying the older sister instead of the younger sister. And so after 14 years of working for Laban, Jacob had his revelation in Genesis 30:30. Jacob said, "Before I came to work for you, your business was little. But now since my coming, your business is blessed and exceedingly great, but my household is not." So Jacob had his revelation that he's been working all these years for somebody else, building somebody else's thing, but his house was suffering financially, right? And so with that revelation point, I realized that many men across the world probably had that same exact revelation, is that, hey, we're out here working these jobs, but our family life is struggling financially, right? The company we're working for is blessed because we're here, but what about our family? And in Genesis 30:30, it goes on, and God kind of gives a solution to this, was basically Jacob became an entrepreneur instead of an employee, mm-hmm. basically. So Jacob basically told Laban, said, you're not going to pay me anything anymore. I want a percentage of everything I make. And so from that moment, that started Jacob along the path of wealth and providing for his own family. And so that scripture kind of just hit me hard, and it kind of launched me into this whole ministry of reaching out to people to teach them about God has placed ideals inside your heart. He wants you to put them in the marketplace.
Right. And I love that. And you kind of like revealed my hidden agenda for having you on the show, Amos. and I'll tell you, because I'm going to expose what my agenda is because I'm in full-time ministry as, quote, an entrepreneur, but ministry. I meet so many men who have a desire to go into ministry full time or start their own business, but they don't do it. And so my hidden agenda is that by bringing you on today, especially when they get to hear your story and some of the things that you do to help entrepreneurs, that I was hoping that you will inspire them and motivate them to, guess, for a lack of a better way of saying it, step out of the boat. Like Peter did, and onto that water, keeping their eyes fixed on Christ. And so I'm hoping, I mean, you already, just with that scripture alone has already got me in the right mindset. So we're off to a great start, Amos. So this is good, man. Now, Amos, before we get into you sharing some of your insights with us about business and what you can do to help us get out of that mindset, I call it the W-2 mindset to a more of a 1099 kind of mentality. But you have an extensive background in engineering from one of the top schools in the country in engineering. What made you make the leap from engineering to entrepreneurship? Was it just reading Genesis 30:30, or was it something more than that?
Well, it wasn't just that. It's kind of weird experience. So basically, I got my PhD when I was 28 years old. Mm-hmm. So I had my PhD in engineering from Georgia Institute of Technology, and if you can imagine, I spent. It's like I spent about 10 years getting it, right? You count undergrad plus grad school, it's about 10 years kind of get a PhD. And it's kind of like my whole entire academic career was geared towards this one thing called a PhD, right? So it's like my whole life was geared toward that. And I conquered that mountain of academics. And then when I conquered that mountain at 28, I was like, you know, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Right. You know, I've hit the goal that I've been working at for the last 10 years, and now it's here. Now what? And so when I had that revelation, like, now what? Can I create a business? Right. Can I now take these same skills of research and development? Can I apply it to something else? And so that was the initial kind of foray into this world of entrepreneurship. It was like, can I do it? Can I create money now? Like I created academic success, you know, that was kind of got me into it. And then from that kind of selfish motive of kind of going to that area, I learned that I kind of enjoyed this field of entrepreneurship, because to me, it was really a creative endeavor, right? So when you're working on a job, you're kind of doing a lot of repetitive tasks, but when you're in your own thing, you get to create. And so it was just like being in an academic research lab, where you're out there creating, experimenting, trying to build stuff. And then on top of that, you know, once I get into ministry school, that's when kind of God kind of supercharged my charge and said, okay, I've given you that kind of taste of that desire for this space of entrepreneurship. Now let's put the ministry on top of that. And now let's go forward in this thing.
Now you mentioned though, that while you went, cause I was just like you, I started out going to school for a lot of years to get that mm-hmm. terminal degree. But it seems like your path a little bit different, unless I missed it. You said that after you gone to school and you got the PhD, that you now are thinking to yourself, okay, how can I create a business? To me, something happened to make you want to create a business, because when I was in school and I finished school, my things, the only thing that inspired me was that I didn't like my job coming out of school. Okay. So, but you know, obviously you had some success coming out of school working. So what was the trigger? What was the turning point that said, man, I want to be an entrepreneur?
It was literally just the trying to accomplish something. Okay. Right. It's kind of weird. It's like, you know, again, you know, you got your terminal degree. So like that drive to get the degree It's like, once you get it, you know, where do you put the drive? You know, where do you put the energy? You know, where do you put the, where you put that talent, that skill, that, you know, could you do, do I want to keep just, you know, writing more academic papers? You know what I'm saying? Do I keep, do I, you know, it's like, it just didn't have that same kind of, excitement. Like, once I got a degree, it's almost like some of the excitement left from the pursuit, you know. And entrepreneurship, I tell people, entrepreneurship, you know, we think it's a one-time journey, but you got to treat it like a career, you know, a lifetime endeavor of just creating and creating and creating and creating. So for me, it was really just the matter of putting that drive somewhere else, right? And while I was getting my PhD, I was doing some entrepreneur type things, right? I had like a I was in my research, I was doing like some video recognition software for stuff, kind of like stuff you see on Facebook now, like face recognition and stuff. Like, we was doing that back in the 90s. And so I had a lot of video editing skills. So I said, let me create a wedding photography business, a videography business. So while I was in grad school, I'll be filming weddings on the weekend and editing in the lab, you know, for like $100 a wedding, you know, just as a curiosity, like, could I make money doing that? You know, just little things like that.
So you were discovering your entrepreneurial skills while you were a full-time student. So you're kind of like trying to supplement, get some income. And so you can take care of yourself, but you were getting, but finding yourself being challenged outside of the classroom. That's what kind of pulled you into it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that creative drive outside of the classroom feeling of, you know, do I want to just keep writing research papers and building technologies that's, you know, 20 years out? Or do I want to kind of do something more immediate gratification? Like, can I build something and make money from something? You know, and that's kind of what kind of was the initial drive out of it.
Okay. Now, but Amos, with all that experience in engineering and schooling in engineering, how difficult was it for you to step away from that field to go into something different? Because after, that's like a person going to med school and say, well, you know, I don't want to be a doctor anymore.
Well, I still haven't completely stepped away from it, you know. So, like, I still use my degree as I'm a professor. So I still teach programming and computer science stuff. Oh, okay. So I still use it. I still use it, and a lot of the things I started needed some of my technical skills. Like, my first business out of grad school, well, not my first, one of my things out of grad school, me and my wife built this little software company called babybirthcall.com. And this is like pre-Facebook days, right? So in the old days, when somebody had a baby, you had to get on the phone and call everybody that you just had a baby, right? So we said, oh, it'd be cool if we combine this call blast technology where you just give us your list of people to call, right? And we give you one phone number and you call this one phone number. And then you lead a message and we blast it out to other people.
Wow.
Right? So basically, I spent one summer just writing all the software code to kind of make all that happen. So I was using my skills from just in engineering and software development to build something in the business space. So I've always kind of used those skill sets in other places. So it's never really not put to use. It's just, you know, just morphed into other places, basically.
Yeah, and I think you bring up something that's, I think, I hope a lot of men pick up on as well, is a lot of times we go down one path and we think we know what we want, because I got my undergrad in public relations, and I got my master's degree in mass comm, and I got my doctorate in curriculum development. And of course, now I'm in full-time men's ministry. And they say, Joe, did you feel like you wasted your time pursuing all those degrees in different areas? But just like you just said, Amos, I'm using those skill sets still, even in this, especially the education component of it, but as well as the marketing when it comes down to public relations and position myself and writing, the writing skills I learned as a PR professional, as well as a professor. And so God never wastes anything. So he's not going to waste your talent and your gifting, but he may redirect you with it. So that seems to me that what you've been doing right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because of my degree and because it is in technology, I've met pretty much all some of the players in some of these major technology startup companies, right? I've been in rooms with the CIO of Facebook. You know, I've been in a room with Google software engineers, Amazon, Uber. Right, I got a meeting this Friday with eBay, right? Just because I'm in this world, right, and because of my certain those credentials, you know, it's opened up doors to these tech companies. They're interested in talking to me about diversity and engineering and the tech startup world. I was part of a team that we was able to write like a technology grant. We got like $150,000 in like grant money that we didn't have to pay back to try to build something. And it was based on some of my and because of my credentials in the academic space at Georgia Tech, it kind of opened the door to those types of spaces. So it's almost like a lot of those skills and a lot of that degree stuff I did in my 20s is still paying dividends now that I could never even thought about. You know, so I think, like, you know, with God doesn't waste stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you've learned, if you were that medical doctor and you realize you want to do something different, those skill sets are transferable. You know, those relationships are transferable. So you don't have to kind of start from scratch. Yeah. And that's one thing I had to come to grips with. You know, it's like when I was meeting and talking to people, it's like, sometimes I ask myself, well, if I was starting from scratch, I wouldn't have these connections to do that. But God was saying, well, that's true, but you don't. You have these connections. You're like, you use them. And as you use them, you get older, you build more connections, and you just keep using the kind of the opportunities that God bring to you. So it's almost like everything that God is guiding you through your life is going to be used for later.
Right.
It may not be right now. It's used for later, right? Because you, like Joe, because you worked in higher education, you know, if somebody want to bring you into their church and start a whole curriculum and program around, say, men's stuff, yeah, they're going to say, wow, you used to teach at this place, you used to teach at this place, you used to teach. So obviously you're skilled at teaching. Mm-hmm. Now let's put it over here in the ministry world.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You know, and now, and I even see the biblical connection with that. You think about Moses and where he started, and yep, where he ended up, yep, and that God was able to use that beginning, you know, that he started and say, hey, I'm going to send you back now. And yeah, so connections and having the connections and the skill set. So you're absolutely right. Now, Evan,
let's go. Let's piggyback on that Moses thing, for example. Think of, Moses could not have went to Pharaoh and asked for the people to release if he didn't have the background.
Absolutely.
Moses was really going to talk to his brother, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, he had it was an inside job. He had a connection. He knew somebody. Right? So, yeah.
That's how God does it, right? You know, so God uses those relationships because, like, Moses was in the – he was the only person in all of Israel who even had the credentials.
Wow.
Be used like that by God.
Yeah, absolutely. You know and that's why they say hindsight is 20/20. The thing is, no, we have to, as Christians, we just have to trust God in this process. That even the pain of our past could be used for His good, and so we just have to be intentional about making sure that we keep our eyes on the prize. Now, Amos, we're going to shift over now, and let's get into helping the men out there who, for lack of a better way of putting it, that they're afraid to step off the boat. And I told you earlier that almost every other man that I meet, that he wants to start his own business or launch a ministry and go into ministry, but he's simply too afraid to make the leap. What advice, and we're going to start just with the basic stuff, what advice do you give people who just won't step off the boat?
I tell them, make it simple, mm-hmm, right? Don't make it complex. I tell them, don't start doing the trappings of business until you start actually having business. You know, so like a lot of people, what they'll do is, I call them these procrastination techniques. Mm-hmm. They'll do stuff like, well, I got to get a logo, and that's going to take a couple weeks. Or I got to get some business cards, it's going to take 2 weeks to get them. Or I need to build a website, so I got to go find a web designer. Or I need to set up a legal LLCs, I need to get a bank account. So, like, all this, these trappings of business, that's easy, right? But it's just procrastination for most people. For most people, what you need to do is, if you know God's called to do something, you have to make that initial step out into the marketplace, right? And you make that step out into the marketplace by selling something. If his ministry is, make that step out into the ministry field and minister, right? And then you be okay with making mistakes. So there's a scripture that said in Proverbs, says a just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. I used to hate that scripture in Proverbs. But the older I got, I realized that, you know, I've made so many mistakes that that's a true scripture, that you will make mistakes. It's almost like you will make a mistake, you know. So once you're okay with it, you will make a mistake. You just realize that when it happens, you just get back up, right? And it still keeps moving and propelling you forward. So if you're on the fence about starting, you know, my advice is to set a deadline. Say, okay, by next Wednesday, I'm starting. You know, and when I say starting, I'm not saying you're gonna go try to get business cards and websites and all that good stuff. But what you're gonna start doing is, you're going to take your idea over the weekend right now and kind of map out the concept, and then by Monday morning, go try to find a customer. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Like, that's why that's that, just kind of like throw you up and put you in the water and go do it.
Yeah. And, you know, and Amos, I like that, because I'm experiencing that right now, even with Real Men Connect and doing this ministry, is that typically I'm an anal retentive person. I like to have everything organized and everything planned out. But with this ministry, it's been the total opposite of how I started becoming an education consultant and speaker, is that I didn't have all the answers with this. I just kind of went out there and did it. And it's good, encouraging to hear that, because I realize now, even after a year and a half into this, I've made a lot of mistakes, But guess what? The public probably wouldn't even notice it. All the mistakes I've made, I've had to change. I mean, I've changed the slogans, and I've changed this, and I've changed the look, and I've changed, restructured the website. So what you're saying is right on point. And I was getting nervous that, Joe, maybe you stepped out too fast because you keep changing everything. But you're saying that's actually a good thing, right?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And that's what I got, like I say, going back to my old skill set from when I was getting my PhD. That's what we did all every single day. We changed stuff every single day. Well, let me change this and see what happens. Oh, that's interesting. Let me change that. Let's see what's happening. That's interesting. And that's why I call entrepreneurship more like a lab. It's an experimentation process, right? It's you and God and the marketplace trying to find the right fit for the concept of God's place in your heart, right? And that's gonna make some mistakes, you know. And if you're not making enough mistakes, you're not really moving the ball yet, right? You know, so because you're gonna make some mistakes if you're really pushing the envelope. So my encouragement to the men is listening. It's okay to make mistakes, and if you're married, what you gotta do is you gotta prep your wife for that. So don't present this like, thus says the Lord, it must happen X, Y, Z, because when it doesn't happen that way, she's gonna question if you heard God correctly. A better way to say this, hey, honey, God has called me in this area, and I'm going to be working on the next few months to figure this thing out. I'm going to make a few mistakes. I'm going to make some direction changes, but this is kind of the place that God has me. And my job now is to kind of pray and do. And as I do, I get more information and I do more things. So I'm going to make some direction changes, but this is kind of the general area that God has me in. And then I think that helps out because, like, when people look from the outside, they see entrepreneurs as if we don't know what we're doing because as a job, it's so prescribed, right? It's so specific. You can't make mistakes. No, even in school, you're punished for making mistakes. Right. You know, you got to get it perfect. Right. But in entrepreneurship, there is no perfect thing. And honestly, even in the secular world, some of the most successful businesses, they don't write business plans to after later. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not even like business plan came first. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's perceived like, oh, we had this great business plan and it just worked out like this great 5-year projection. That's not so at all.
But I tell you, Amos, this is so good what you just said. Like you mentioned something that I'm telling you, I've never heard anybody ever say. And I've worked with business coaches. I've worked with a lot of very successful entrepreneurs. No one has ever said as simple as you just said, prep your wife for mistakes.
Yeah.
That is, you know, as simple as that sounds. I mean, I wish I could shout down to the mountaintops because you are absolutely right. Because if you're going to cast a vision that God has given you to your wife and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of security in it, that she's, you know, if she loves you, she's going to say, okay, God, if you spoke to him, I'm going to submit to his authority and I'm going to do this. But inside she, you know, we know a woman's biggest need is security. Is she's wondering, are we going to lose everything? Or did you really call him? Did he really hear your voice on that? But the fact that what you just said is to prep her for it and say, hey, God has called me to this, but some things may happen. It may not work out, but this is what he's called me to do. And it seems like, I don't know if you have a lot of experience in that area. But I'm blessed that my wife is so supportive. And I guess because she's an entrepreneur herself, so she kind of understands that not everything's going to work out because everything she's done hasn't always worked out too. But I'm so glad I've never heard anybody say that before. Prep your wife. And even if there's a woman out there listening, prep your husband that there are going to be some mistakes. I love that, Amos. I love that. Now, Amos, let's get real. Now, we call this Real Men Connect because we keep it real on here. Real Men Connect. And we also know is many men out there who are afraid to step off the boat and go into entrepreneurship. We also know not everybody who's been called has been called to entrepreneurship and to be an entrepreneur. How can we know for sure if we've been called or if we just crazy?
you know, I get real simple advice on that. It's a scripture. I love scripture, right? Uh-huh. In the Old Testament, I think it's in, I don't know if it's in Deuteronomy or not, but they was asking this question. It's like, how do we know if what the prophet says is from God?
Right.
And the answer was so funny. He said, if it works.
Oh, I love it.
If it works. All right. So if God called you to do it, it works. Right? Now, if God didn't call you to do it, one of two things is going to happen. It's going to crash and burn, mm-hmm. or it's going to work with sorrow with it, which means that you will become successful in the thing, but you don't have the grace to do without having collateral damage to your life. So in Proverbs, it says, the blessing of the Lord, he maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it.
Right.
So when you get rich in a secular fashion, you have sorrows attached to those with riches, right? So you can be successful without God's anointing and blessing, but you don't have the protection of the sorrows, right? So when you're doing things out of God's will, there's a lot of things that start breaking down in your life. Marriages breaks down, your kids breaks down, your health breaks down, your peace breaks down, just you worry, you're frustrated. All those things break down because the word says God is not the author of confusion, right? So when you're in a swarm of confusion, life is just chaotic, then you're out of God's will. Even if you are financially making money from this thing God's called to do, because you use this word that I don't use anymore called hustling and grinding. But when God's work is more of a grace and an ease to it, even if it may feel difficult, there's a grace and an ease to it that allows you to do it without the sorrows associated with success. I mean, just look at our presidential election. You know, Donald Trump's a billionaire, but look at how many wives he's had, right? You know, there's collateral damage in his life for the success that he had, for success he has, right? You know, so if we want to, and even in ministry, I mean, how many ministers are divorced because they put their ministry in a wrong position or put it before their family, you know? So even if the ministry is successful and you look at their families are in chaos, now you know they're doing this, even if it's a good work, without the blessing that protects them from the sorrows associated with it.
And Hamish, I love how you broke that down. So let me see if I can summarize, and if I'm off, you correct me. So if you're pursuing that vision that God has given you, whether it be in traditional businesses or if it's in ministry, that if your marriage is not improving and is actually declining, or your kids are being disconnected as opposed to being engaged, if your relationships are not improving, that is a sign that God's hand is not on that. That's what you're saying. Because you, like you say, there'll be no sorrow with it. And I want to make sure we clarify too, it doesn't, you said this, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to be difficult. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy going. But there should be no collateral damage as a result of you pursuing it. And boy, that's a great word, Amos, because I mean, I can look back on my life and some decisions I've made in the past. And I keep thinking, wow, I needed to hear that word back then, because that's a great way to test it. Now, Amos, from your experience, what seems to be the two or three biggest things or mistakes that aspiring entrepreneurs make when starting a business or pursuing a ministry?
Well, the first thing is, I think we talk about is trying to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Right. You gotta, it's better to launch sooner than later. And don't worry about the perfection. That'd be the biggest mistake, is trying to just wait. That creates procrastination, and that creates this over analyzing the marketplace, and you just don't do it. And the second one is marketing. Most people don't know how to market, because most people have been handed opportunities as an employee. So as an employee, you don't have to go out and try to find business. You know, your employer has kind of already found your business. And the only marketing you did was to get the job the first time. So if you've been an employee for the last 20 years, you know, you've lost that skill of persuasive communication to actually go out and find new clients for stuff. And what most business people do is, when they first jump out into business, they treat marketing like a bad dating relationship. So basically what they'll do is they'll like I always tell the story. Say there's a single lady named Sally, and let's say Joe, you're a single guy. Mm-hmm. So if Joe goes up to Sally on the first day that Joe ever sees Sally and says, "Sally, will you marry me?" Sally's going to say, "No, I don't know you."
Right.
Right. You know, Joe's a good guy and all that good stuff. He's a great father. But Sally just don't know Joe. So Joe's asked too soon for the sale, mm-hmm, on that particular thing. And so most people in business, they first get started, they just jump too fast to asking people to buy their stuff. They haven't even created any type of relationship to give them the right to even ask. And so the second big mistake is that marketing creates the right environment where you create a relationship with potential customers, and then you have the right to ask them for the particular sale, right? So 90% of most businesses need some form of relationship before you're even ready to ask for the sale. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're selling water in the middle of a desert, then it's no big deal. They need water, they're thirsty, you sell it. But for most of these businesses we're doing, they're probably more consultant-based, coaching-based, you're using your own skills to, for hire. That creates, that needs relationships for people to be able to trust you in order you can succeed in what to do the business that you're saying you can do.
Mm-hmm. And Amos, you're right on point with that. Remember I told you when I found you in the Facebook group with Kingdom Driven Entrepreneurs, and when I came across your material, that it was the first thing I saw was about you talking about marketing. And to me, you know, I love marketing. I mean, I'm a student of marketing. I've read tons of books about marketing. And I love that creative process you were talking about of coming up with ways to be able to sell and approach and build relationships. But I didn't think a lot of business professionals in the Christian community knew that. And so when the first thing I came across was that from you, and I thought, wait a minute, this guy gets it. He understands that you have to master marketing. You have to know how to market your product, goods, and services. And I'm going to give you some props too as well. The fact that I was able to reach out to you, when I saw you there, what did I tell them that I said in the introduction? You were serving. You were building trust. You were building relationships. And I wanted to find out more about you. You didn't pitch me on anything. You didn't tell me to buy something from you or that you're selling anything. You were giving. And I pursued you. And I wanted to find out more about you. And of course, I started being interested in the stuff that you offer. And so what you're saying is, I mean, you actually are a good example of what you're telling us right now. So I'm hoping that they really get this in their craw. And I tell you another thing too, Amos, that came up to me when you were saying this, is churches. And we, you know, every church wants to be bursting at the seams when it comes to their congregations, recruiting people. But I often tell when we're talking, I'm always asked about how do you build a men's ministry? And I keep telling these pastors, you have to build relationships with these men. You can't just expect them to show up for church. And if they do show up for church and if you don't connect with them, you're going to lose them. And so I think what you're saying also applies to anyone who's getting ready to even start a church, that you have to learn how to build relationships. And unfortunately, it's called marketing.
Yeah, you got to, right? It's like I drive on the highway all the time. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, right? So on the highway, there's so many billboards for churches, right? Yeah. I'm asking myself, dude, you know, if I'm a Christian, right? I've been a Christian. I've been for my whole life, and I got rededicated back when I was in the 90s. And so if I see a church building, I'm not just walking to any church building. Right. I don't know what you're teaching. I don't know what you're preaching. Right. I don't know you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna let you speak into my life just because you've got the word church on there. Right.
Right.
You know, there has to be some other reason other than you say church on your building to even get me come through the doors. Right. And I'm Christian. Yeah. Right. What about the unbeliever?
Oh, my
right?
goodness. Yeah. Yeah. When you think about it that way. And, you know, Amos, I even think, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I've never gone to a church because of a billboard. Ever. Ever.
Ever. Ever.
Yeah, but like you said, I see them everywhere, though. You know, but if someone that you know from that church builds a relationship with you and they're sharing with you what they're learning at the church and that kind of thing, or they invite you to something because they have a relationship with you, they're more inclined to come. And so I'm glad you pointed out that. But I never thought about it. I've never gone to a church based on the billboard before.
You know, it works sporadically. Now, when there's people there, I will say, if you're like, say, for example, you are hurting. And you're desperate, you know, God can use that billboard, right? But it's not a good marketing strategy. Miracles are not good at marketing strategy.
I like it. I love it. I love it. All right. Now, Amos, I want to shift the gears a little bit. Now, what if you do have what it takes? We were talking about the person who may, you know, think they were called, but they're not called. But what if you do have what it takes? You're qualified. You're gifted. And you even believe you're anointed and you have proof that you're anointed to pursue entrepreneurship. But the only thing that you lack are the resources. And you're kind of stuck between a job and a dream. So because you have that financial responsibility to take care of your family. What do you suggest? I'm sure you hear this a lot, especially as a business advisor. But I can't afford to leave my job. I've been unemployed for the last 23 years, so it's no big deal to me. I'm used to not having a paycheck. But for those who are stuck to their paycheck and they can't support their family, what do you tell them if you know that God has put some on their heart to do it and they're qualified to do it?
They got to do it part time. Mm-hmm. You know, it don't have to. It depends on your situation, right? So, like, let's start with a single male, first of all. Single male, you have no responsibilities, no kids, nowhere. You know God's called you to business. Mm-hmm. Immediately save half your salaries, like starting this month. Mm-hmm. And then save up just a cushion of time that you can kind of launch out from this thing. Just go ahead and save half your salary. It's possible. You don't have any other expenses. Sell whatever expensive thing you got. You got a BMW. You don't need it. Get rid of that. Get rid of all your debt. You know, sell anything that has debt on it. Just go ahead and become debt free completely as a single person. married person, you have a wife. And Paul tells in the Corinthians that he that is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. So you have to have a conversation with your wife and determine what things that she need to be pleased, right? Mm-hmm. If she needs security, does she need a certain kind of house? Does she need a certain kind of car? She needs a certain kind of investments. If those, once you had that conversation based on what she says she needs, then your job scripturally as a man in the house is you have to provide those things for her. And that may mean that for security and stability, you may have to keep your job, right? And it's because that's the things that she need. Now, and because you honor her and what she needs, God's going to anoint and bless your free time to accelerate your activities. Mm-hmm. So as Christian entrepreneurs, what we got to realize is that we do have the anointing and blessing on us to be successful. You know, in the Old Testament, when in the year of Jubilee, you know, God gave them provision that in a certain year, they were not to do any work for an entire year, mm-hmm. right? But the year before that, God said the blessing of the Lord is going to make you produce so much in that last year that's going to take care of the year you didn't work and the year after that. So the blessing of the Lord can take whatever time you have and multiply it and magnify it. So what you got to do is you got to kind of, as an act of faith, stay on your job and use the time that you have and sanctify that time to the Lord and allow him to bless that so that business that he's called you can be successful. Because if you just up and quit your job, you're going to violate that scripture of he that's married cares about things of the world. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in violation of that scripture, now God's kind of putting your hand off you because, hey, you're violating scripture. Now you're going to have this collateral damage. Your marriage is going to be strained all because you didn't honor your wife in that scripture of caring about the things of the world.
Man, Ames, that is great how you broke that down. You know, made me think, I can't remember the exact reference, but about a man's gift makes room for him. And what you're saying is that it also makes time.
It makes time.
That's part of that room, that what you need, the grace that you need to get things done. And I've seen, I mean, now that you say it, I can look back and see so much evidence of that. I'm thinking right now with me trying to do ministry full time and work in the education arena. I remember initially when God called me to do this, I'm like, God, I don't have the time to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm already stretched in, but it's amazing. Like you said, miraculously, you know, I started part time and I've watched him kind of just create the space for me to do it in. And I'm still amazed even to this day, but I'm kind of like, I'm walking on that water. I don't even want to take my eyes off, because if I do, I'm going to be frightened by the storm around. Like, how is this even possible? So I love the fact that you broke it down, not only for married people, but also for single people. So that is great, man. I love that. Now, I know from being in full-time ministry and how time-consuming it can be, Anus. And I know you're married and you have two little ones. You have two small daughters. How do you maintain the balance that you don't create that collateral damage that you mentioned earlier? How do you maintain this balance to do it well?
Well, I mean, so I haven't done it well always mm-hmm. at all, right? By no stretch of imagination. So I want people, you know, I heard a minister once say, sometimes you got to preach what should be, even if you haven't done it yourself completely, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've learned from not doing it right, and then God just kind of correcting me and talking to me and saying, like, this is how you're supposed to do it, is really taking heed to the Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the some things hoped for and the evidence not things not seen. Everything that we receive from God is by faith, not by our hard work, not by our grind. So when I first started in entrepreneurial world, I thought it was all about my work, my grind, because when I was getting my PhD, that's all I did. I just worked literally all day long, every day, every weekend. I would go to work, go eat, come back to the lab, stay all night, go to sleep, get breakfast. Like, that was my life. I was trained to hustle, right? And that produced a certain level of success. And because I wasn't married, you know, I did have dating relationships that all fell apart because of that hustle, right? You know, the collateral damage. But I wasn't married, so I was able to kind of live that life, that hustle life, right? But as a Christian entrepreneur, we have to really realize that it's faith. Faith is the thing that allows us to be successful. Faith is the thing that when Peter was fishing all night, he caught nothing. But Jesus said, go do it again right now. And he caught a whole multitude of fish, mm-hmm. right? So one word from God can give you insight that can take 1 hour to be a millionaire, where you've been spending 20 years hustling.
Right.
And so we have to kind of get in our mind that it's by faith that we can do this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, once we know it's by faith, what we can do then is say, okay, I only got 2 hours a week to do this because I got to go to work. I got to spend time with my wife. I got to spend time with my kids. So I only got 2 hours to do this. So by faith, those 2 hours are anointed because I'm not going to violate scripture where I want to crush my family. Right. So we have to kind of, in our mind, realize that we're working by faith and not by grind. And when you realize you're working by faith and not by grind, you're not going to steal time from your family. The only reason we steal time for our family because we tell ourselves the story that if I had more time, then I'll make more money. Right. You know, if I just had more time, I can just quit this job. And I just had more time and this thing will be successful. But that's not true. It's not more time that's going to make you successful. It's the anointing of God that's going to make you successful. Mm-hmm. You can quit your job and work 40 hours a week on a thing and it still not work. Right. So it's not a time issue. It's an anointing issue. An anointing issue is not time based. It's just a prayer and following God's instruction. So if you're worried about the balance of marriage and family and kids, put the time in your family and whatever's left over, let God anoint that for the calling, for the business calling.
That is excellent, Amos. That is excellent. And Amos, before we transition into the main up questions, I just wanted to quickly ask you, taking you back, because you were so focused on academics at a younger age, but you had that itch for entrepreneurship and you wanted to be creative and use those creative juices. If you could go back now and talk to a younger version of yourself, let's say when you were 21 years old, what would you tell 21-year-old Amos to do first?
That's interesting. That's interesting. What would I do first? It's like if I knew I had this, if I knew that eventually I was going to get into entrepreneurship, I would have probably told my 21-year-old self to start something. So anything. Now, anything, right? So now my 43-year-old self will have, built up something that's my own completely, right? Mm-hmm. Faster. That's the only thing I would tell my 21-year-old self. I would have told my 32-year-old self is probably a better time to tell myself something. That's when I first got married. I would have told my 32-year-old self is that don't sacrifice your marriage for your business. Let God handle the business, you handle the family. Mm-hmm. That's what I told my 30-year-old self.
Okay. And that's great advice too, because I wish I could go back and tell myself something differently when I got married. but we're going to still take you back even when you were younger, because we're looking at in the mindset of being an entrepreneur. Now, we know now what you would have done first. You would have started something. But what would you have done better?
Marketing. To learn marketing, because mm-hmm. I think I didn't realize how important it was to market a thing.
Yeah.
I actually got into business, right? Because like you just think that if I just make it, people buy it, mm-hmm. right? And that's not true, So you have to learn marketing, and you got to see marketing as not as manipulation, but as persuasion, and be okay with the persuasive conversation that leads people down a path to saying yes or no to a product, right? A good product with marketing becomes great. A bad product with marketing becomes good. But without the marketing, it just like goes nowhere.
I'm gonna go on the other side of this because I know, because I know men that some out there are struggling with what you just said. I agree with you, and I'm thinking about those people who are trying to go into a ministry full time. More so than starting to opening up a hot dog stand or something. And the thing is, they're thinking, okay, God has anointed me and given me this powerful message. So I'm going to start this church, and they just because God's going to bless it, they're going to come. I don't have to do any marketing. I don't have to sell anything. And I totally don't agree with that. But for that person who is saying, well, I don't care if you agree with it or not, Joe, this is what I believe. What would you say to that person?
I would say Jesus had to use marketing too.
Yeah, okay.
Jesus just didn't, people just didn't follow him, right? It was a couple things that happened in Jesus' ministry. He went about teaching and preaching, right? That's marketing, right? What Jesus was selling was eternal life. He wasn't selling his ministry, his messages, right? His messages was marketing. His message was a podcast. His message was blog posts. His message was content marketing. And his free giveaway was eternal life, right? And once you got eternal life, then you kind of became a disciple and you kind of came in the congregation. But he went through a marketing process of shouting from the rooftops his message, his concepts that he was out selling and promoting. and right, his persuasive. I mean, he was using this term called scarcity, right? You know, what are you going to do if you die today? You know, the word to be saved is a marketing term, right? You don't say let's enter a great life. That doesn't get people saved. The showing a negative side gets people saved, right? And that's marketing 101 with certain like limited time offers. Now there's only two seats left. You know, that's what Jesus is doing basically, right? You know, there'll be two in the field, one be taken. You know, so those virgins, they weren't ready to go. So you got to be ready.
Amos, this is amazing. I love it. You know, now I feel convicted too, because when I was back in college, I was had to work on my thesis. I was, you know, majoring in mass comm. And they asked me, so, Joe, you have to submit your thesis proposal. And I let them talk me out of it. But I wanted to do a thesis proposal on selling Jesus, right? That was going to be my thesis. Because I was, and they said, what do you mean selling Jesus? I said, how is Christianity marketed, you know, to the public? How, when you, this huge movement where when you have to die in order to gain life, but yet people are coming to this movement, and they, of course, they didn't let me do it, but because they didn't see that there was a business aspect to this, a marketing side of it. But basically what you just showed, that Jesus did marketing. I love it.
I mean, they have to. It's as a minister of the gospel, you know, let's talk to the minister for a second, right? Mm-hmm. You know, your marketing is your message.
Right.
Your marketing is your message. Your avenues are the normal channels. You know, you can start a church. Starting a church may not be the right first step in the message. The right first step for the message may be a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be blogging. You know, it may be the current new media channels out there to kind of share your message. It may be doing guest ministries at other places, right? But you have to kind of, you know, share your message. And I'm using another word that, you know, may not like to hear, but you need to niche down your message sometimes, mm-hmm. right? You know, what I call pastors are generalists. You know, has God called you to be a generalist like a pastor? Or has God called you to be a specialty ministry? Like Joe has a specialty ministry, right? He's niche to Christian men, right? He has a certain niche ministry that God has called him to, and he's going to market that ministry based on that niche. You know, like when Jesus was on the planet, you know, there was a lady whose daughter was sick, and she asked him to heal her, and Jesus told her no. Mm-hmm. Right. And she had asked like three times. But Jesus told her, I'm only called to the lost sheep of Israel. So while Jesus was on the planet, his target market was just the Israelites. Jesus didn't heal anybody who wasn't an Israelite in that first 3 years of his ministry. Right. Mm-hmm. Healing other people didn't occur until the calling was expanded when he told the apostles to go out to all the world and preach the gospel, basically. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But Jesus had a very limited target market. So if you can niche down your target market with your ministry when you first get started and then grow it, you know, that'd even be better from a marketing standpoint.
Oh, I love it, Amos. I love how you broke that down. And now they see what I was talking about when I was introducing you, that the way you're able to connect the scriptures to this concept of business and entrepreneurship. I mean, you're right on point with that. I mean, you can't even argue that. And so I appreciate you sharing that perspective with us. Now, Amos, it's time. It's time for our infamous man up questions, man. And these are just five quick questions, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And all they require is fearless honesty and brutal honesty on your part, which you shouldn't have a problem with. So the question is, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And we'll come right after this short break. We'll come right back and talk to Amos Johnson and ask him the man up questions. Do you know that no one has ever become a champion without a coach? Think about it. Any athlete who's ever made it to the Olympics, let alone won a gold medal, has ever gotten there without a qualified coach or a group of coaches. So if that's the case, if you're serious about becoming a champion husband, father, or leader, then my question is, who's coaching you? That's why I've officially launched the Real Men Connect 21-Day Coaching Program. My goal? To help you become the man and spiritual champion God called and created you to be. If you're going to succeed as a man of God, it's going to take faith, wisdom, and accountability. So you need a proven Christian coach, mentor, and teacher who's literally helped hundreds go from good to great God's way. I've been an award-winning educator for more than 23 years, and I've been coached and trained by some of the best in the country. So whether it's strengthening your faith, improving your marriage, growing your ministry, or even breaking an addiction, let me coach you for 21 days to help you finally get the breakthrough you've been looking for. Just go to realmenconnect.com or call 423-763-7675 for details. Availability is limited, but satisfaction is guaranteed. Welcome Welcome back, guys. We're back on the show again with Dr. Amos Johnson Jr., the founder of Church for Entrepreneurs and the author of Take Control of Your Financial Destiny. And Amos says he's ready for the man up questions. Let's hit you with them. And it starts with the first letter with the M, and it stands for mistake. And you kind of alluded to it earlier when I asked you before about, you said your 32-year-old self, that you go back to 32. But we're going to come up with, even with another mistake. It might even not be the biggest one you've made. But looking back at your life now, what mistake did you learn the most from as a man? This could be pre-marriage or even post-marriage. You pick it.
You have to lean on God to provide. You know, the word tells us that, you know, we are a provider, but it's coming through God's anointing on us to do that. So it's not on our shoulders to make it happen. It's on us hearing God and getting with God and making it and going through his motions.
Okay, so pop provision then, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the A represents attitude. If you could change one attitude in men who are aspiring entrepreneurs, what would it be?
Patience. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You got to have a level of patience that allows us to endured. You know, the word tells us faith and patience receive the promise.
All right. And I tell you, I will second that motion too, because boy, it does take a lot of patience, because you can't expect it to happen overnight. It's just not going to happen that way. Now, the N stands for next. And obviously you're doing a lot of great work with Church for Entrepreneurs, but if you couldn't fail, what would be the thing you would next attempt to do for God?
I would attempt to put a business incubator in every major city called a God Idea Lab, where Christian entrepreneurs could go to this particular building, have co-working space, could get training, could get advice, and it would be one in every single lab, every single major city.
All right. Now, is that something that is just an idea or something that you're hoping to work towards?
That's something I'm hoping to work towards.
All right. Fantastic, man. I love that idea. Now, Amos, the U stands for understand. And when you were younger, what was one thing you didn't understand about being a man, but you understand now?
I understand about being a man in terms of marriage, that God didn't give us predefined roles. You know, only role that God gave for man is to be provider and to love your wife. So that besides that, everything else is tradition.
Okay. All right. Now, and the last letter stands for P. P stands for problem. And as a mighty man of God, which you are, what one problem in your life do you still struggle with today, even as a married man with children?
Trusting God, trusting that if God called me to do it, he's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I still struggle with trust.
All right. And you did a great job on that, Amos. Thanks for being so transparent and honest with us and answering those questions. I really appreciate it. And before we close, though, if there's one thing that you want to let the audience take away, as far as I'm talking about for the men out there who are aspiring entrepreneurs, what would you tell them as a takeaway?
Just relax. Relax a little bit. If you've been spinning your wheels and just not working, take some time off. Mm-hmm. If you haven't started, start. So that's kind of what your takeaway. For those who've been spinning wheels, just haven't been successful, don't quit. Just take a vacation.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, man, we've come to the end of our show today, but don't you worry. We'll be back to do it again next week with a new guest, with new insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. And I'd like to thank my guest, Amos Johnson, for joining us today, for being so gracious with his time. Amos, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe.
And Amos, quickly, if our listeners wanted to find out more about your ministry and what the work that you're doing, how could they contact you? What would be the best way to connect with you?
The best thing to do is go to churchforentrepreneurs.com and see everything we're doing. If you want to get a copy of that, the free book Joe kept mentioning, Take Control of Your Financial Destiny, I have a free ebook of version of that. You can go to churchforentrepreneurs.com/free.
All right. Fantastic. And we'll put that in the show notes as well, so they'll be able to link onto that and get that. And I would advise them to get that book, because one, you're making it available for free, but it's actually really good. So you can't beat free. So, and to all of you guys out there, please do us a favor. This is so important. Now, take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program. It's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. Thanks to you guys, we're now the top-rated podcast for Christian men on iTunes, and we could not have done that without your help. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. Until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.